Dr. Larry Kaskel. You should listen to him if you know what's good for you. Of course, you should listen to him even if you don't know what's good for you. Here's the healthy skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
We have all been brainwashed to think that public restrooms have a lot to be desired, but do you really know what is lurking behind that door? Is it any worse than the door of your bathroom at home? We're going to find out today. My guest is Sean Gibbons. He is a medical student at the University of Chicago and did a fascinating study looking at what is growing actually in public bathrooms. Sean, let's start first with what are the microbes that are seen in both public bathrooms and our private bathroom, and is there a big difference between the two?
Well, so all of us as humans carry with us a sort of microbial aura. We have all these microbes on our bodies.
I like that. I like that term. I like that, a microbial aura.
Yeah, and they're shedding.
So I'm gonna interrupt there because I've read some studies that our microbial aura can actually be attracted to another human's microbial aura, and what is actually attracting us to each other is our bacteria, not necessarily our brains, and we're kind of fooled by it. Have you got anything to say about that?
Yeah, so there are, you know, there are particular organisms that have sort of pheromone interactions that are based off their microbiota. I know this happens in fruit flies. I think even hyenas do this, where if their mate carries a particular microbe, they give off a particular scent that makes them attractive to one another. My advisor and I have talked about doing something with humans or trying to figure out how to do an experiment, kind of love culture number 9 sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But we haven't gone there yet.
Got it. All right, so let's go back to the bathroom. Let's leave human sexuality alone and just go back to the toilet.
Sure.
So as you were saying, what's in our bathrooms?
So, you know, right, like any of the built environment that we live in, these are inert surfaces, right? This is like brick or linoleum, plastic, porcelain. These aren't environments that are very rich for a microbe. There's not much food to eat. There's not much to do, not much water. So they're not very happy. So most of the bacteria in and around us on the surfaces and the buildings we reside in are coming from, they're being shed from our bodies. And so the microbiota of the restroom, whether public or private, is a reflection of the human beings that are using that space.
Got it. So what about viruses? We haven't really talked about that. Did you culture some out of there? Did you see some? And if so, which ones?
Yeah, we did. We did look at viruses in this system, and we found that the most abundant organism are what we call enterophages. And these are viruses that just attack bacteria, and specifically bacteria that reside in the gut. So these things are likely being dispersed from fecal matter or from the gut. But we did also find evidence for human skin-associated viruses like papilloma and herpes viruses.
So you said herpes viruses, and people are going to start panicking. Can you catch genital herpes from a toilet seat?
Well, I can't speak to that exactly, but I will say that the herpes viruses we detected, we only really got a good resolution to the level of order, herpes duralis or something like that. So this isn't necessarily genital herpes, right? There's lots of different strains of herpes that cause cold sores, lots of more benign strains than the genital herpes that people are familiar with.
All right, so people should not be going and jumping off a bridge if they think they caught this from a toilet seat. You're not going to commit to saying that you can or cannot, but all you can say is that there were herpes viruses growing in the bathroom.
There were, not growing necessarily, but they were there.
But they were there. So how long can they live? Were you able to kind of quantify how long the viruses stayed present?
We didn't look at the decay rate of the viruses. From what we could tell, we did a human exclusion study where we took out the humans and just kind of did a time series and saw what was left over when the dispersal agents left. We didn't see much of a difference for the viruses, but what we did do was we tried to culture and sequence the bacteria that lived on those surfaces, and even in the absence of the humans that they're being shed from, these organisms, when they get deposited on surfaces, they remain viable and living for hours and hours.
Did you look at people's private bathrooms, or were you only look? Did this study only look at public bathrooms? Did you go into anyone's homes?
Yeah, this particular study was just in public bathrooms, but we just published a prior paper a couple months ago in Science on the Home Microbiome Project. And study, we did sample bathroom surfaces in private homes.
So what did you see there? Was there a marked difference or pretty much the same stuff?
I'd say it's pretty close. Again, the spaces are reflective of the people that reside in them. And so what the take-home from that study was we could pretty much forensically identify who was living where by sequencing microbes off the surfaces of what they were interacting with. And we could tell when someone went on a business trip, for example, and their microbial fingerprint would decay from the home that they resided in over time.
Cool. So where is that study, if someone wants to read about that?
That is in Science, the magazine Science.
And what has made you so interested in this, Sean? What happened when you were a child?
Well, so I'm actually not a medical student. I'm a biophysicist, and I am particularly interested in ecology, so how organisms interact with their environments, in particular microbial ecology. I'm very interested in the natural world, in bacteria, and these little known things that are all around us that are so integral to not only how the natural ecosystems outside work, but how our human bodies work and whether we're healthy or unhealthy. They're invisible, but they're so pervasive and interesting and dynamic.
So what do you want to accomplish for the rest of your career? Where are you going to go with this? You're not done with this study. Did you learn what you wanted to learn, or has it just given you more ideas for the next study?
Oh, this is just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot of work that needs to be done in this field. Eventually, we'd like to be able to engineer environments, built environments, indoor environments, to maximize human health. In addition, I think that microbiome research in general is the cutting edge of medicine. And in the future, I'm sure there will be several diseases that will be addressed in some part by modulating or treating the microbiome.
And you would like to be a part of that. You want to find the cure to something, I imagine. That would be pretty cool as a result, either intended or unintended consequence of your explorations.
Exactly.
What's your fantasy, Sean? What do you want to cure? What do you think 10 years from now, what is your fantasy telling you?
Well, I mean, basically, I'm just a nerd, and I'm very interested in doing the science and like theoretical ecology, right? But if the side effect is curing disease, that would be wonderful. And I think there's a lot of potential out there. We've already seen gut things like C. difficile have been treated and cured by microbial treatments. But I think other things, even like psychological disorders, autism, and so forth, these things may have a microbial component to them, and may in the future be treatable. And that's very exciting.
That is pretty exciting. So we have about a minute left. Just to tell the audience once again, how much of us is human? How much of us is alien?
Well, some estimate that there's about 10 microbial cells to every one human cell. So we're actually, by the numbers, more microbe than man. If you look at the genome, there's about 100 times more bacterial genes in and on our bodies than human genes. So a lot of the diversity, the functional diversity of the human body is pent up in microbes. We've evolved with them for millions of years, and they are integral to how we function as beings.
All right. So on that note, if you want to learn more about Sean's work, where can you go to, Sean, real quickly, website?
Go to uchicago.edu. I'm in the biophysics program. You can look, just Google me.
Great. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic on Radio MD, reminding you never let anyone do your thinking for you. And stay skeptical, my friends. And stay well.